Oh, were you waiting for something? I'm sorry. We're not very good at waiting, are we? If you're like me, waiting is, it's a waste of time. The less waiting in life, the better. And all signs around us in our world seem to agree waiting is useless. Pizza isn't just delivery anymore. Outside 40 minutes, it's free. Drive-through banking and ATM machine lineups, much less convenient than online banking. Google offers instant access to information from around the world. Instant. I mean, why check an encyclopedia when we have Wikipedia? In the world we live in, it seems that impatience is a virtue. The faster we can get it, the better. It's almost like we're programmed to bow to anything helping us to get faster to what, where, and when we need something. Or is it want something? Before Jesus ascends into heaven, the disciples are asked to wait. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. The ascension of Jesus into heaven is a sign, as we've been saying in this service already, that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And even though ascension doesn't get as much attention as Christmas and even Easter, what happens with Jesus' ascension is pretty important stuff. Ascension reminds us that Jesus goes to sit at God's right hand. It teaches us that the same Jesus who shows the love of God to us has the power of God for us too. He defeats sin and evil. And I love the way the ascension has the symbolism right there in that story that we heard this morning of 40 days. 40 days Jesus walked on the earth after rising from the dead, speaking about the kingdom of God. 40 days. And that's why this week, Thursday, is actually the day when we celebrate ascension. 40 days from his death. And 40 is a symbol of waiting during trials and temptations. 40 days and nights it rained when Noah and his family were in the ark. 40 years God's people wandered in the wilderness before getting to the promised land. 40 days Jesus was tempted in the desert. And now, 40 is redeemed by Jesus, speaking about the kingdom of God for 40 days. Ascension is about the kingdom of God and how Jesus has defeated evil, has defeated Satan, and how Jesus is watching over us at God's right hand with his love and his power. And still Jesus says, after I go, wait. Ascension is also about waiting. The disciples had to wait. They said to Jesus, Lord, Lord, are you at this time? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Oh, they were so excited. It was going to happen right now. They didn't get it yet that the kingdom was bigger than they could ever imagine. The disciples also didn't get it that the kingdom of God is a long-term project. It sure is, isn't it? I mean, we're into the third millennium. And the kingdom that Jesus announced at his ascension is still a work in progress. Why and how exactly that is, but thank God we're a part of it. We get to be a part of it. And it's right to think about ascension in terms of Jesus as our king, the ruler over all. One of the theologians of the Dutch Reformed tradition, where I grew up in, said it this way. His name was Abraham Kuyper, and he said, "There's not a square inch on earth where Jesus does not claim and say, 'It's mine.'" The ascension of Jesus is a call to believe all that and to really live it out. It's a call to find ways to bring in the kingdom of God everywhere on this earth. And yet the ascension in Jesus' very words and actions is a call to wait. The disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come instead of going it alone in their own power. Ascension includes a call to wait, making us realistic, making us less triumphalistic, and more dependent upon God and His Spirit in a world kingdom-bound, but not yet kingdom-fulfilled. This week, the people of the Netherlands, my heritage, will once again give thanks. May 5, for the Allies, including especially Canadians, who liberated them. But between D-Day, when the war was already declared won, and VE Day, when the ammunitions finally stopped, there were skirmishes everywhere. The war was over. Victory was proclaimed, but the war was not yet over. On a much, much grander scale, Christians live between D-Day and VE Day. We live in an already but not yet time, and we're called to wait while the skirmishes continue. And yet, we're called not simply just to look up in the skies. After Jesus ascends, two men dressed in white, apparently they might have been angels, they say, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky?" In other words, what are you doing just standing around? Go and do what Jesus calls you to do. And they do. They wait, but they wait expectantly. They join together constantly in prayer. In 2 weeks is Pentecost Sunday, when we remember that the Holy Spirit is poured out among the disciples and among God's people. That's what they were waiting for. And it happened 10 days later, as we'll read in 2 weeks from Acts chapter 2. But in the meantime, they waited expectantly. They're not just standing around looking up in the sky. Or at least they were told not to. And since then, we've been called to wait expectantly for Jesus' return. How do we wait during this already but not yet time? Martin Luther, the Protestant theologian of the 16th century, was once asked, "What would you do if you knew Jesus was going to return tomorrow?" And his reply, "I would plant an apple tree today." We live in an already but not yet time. This time of year, when students are graduating, some people have a clear direction and maybe even a job waiting for them. Others are waiting for direction and haven't got so much as a sniff from all the resumes sent out. They wait. There are people who are waiting for God to bring healing. In some physical, emotional, or spiritual way, you are suffering. You are waiting for God to take the pain away. You wait. There are people who are longing for restored relationships, waiting for an end to brokenness and pain. Some waiting for repentance and some waiting for forgiveness, but it doesn't happen overnight. You're called to wait. There are people in bondage to substances which abuse their bodies and minds. The people who love them are waiting, longing for that day when they can finally overcome that problem and the issues which led them, first of all, to indulge. They wait. There are people in faraway lands and in inner cities who are waiting for justice and compassion rather than oppression and avoidance. We pray and do what we can to overcome hatred around the world and poverty in our own backyard. But we often have to wait for walls of bondage to come tumbling down. At Knox, we have been busy not only with raising funds, but in many ways preparing for the Tayar family to finally arrive from Lebanon. We had hoped it would be February, but we wait. More importantly, they wait. What do we do in all of these situations and more when here we are worshiping Jesus as King and Lord? When we agree with the church of all time that the ascension is God's announcement of victory, we wait expectantly with hope in this already but not yet kingdom of God where skirmishes continue, and we are called to do our part. Because we live in a world where though Jesus has won the war against sin and all his devils, there's still demonic battles going on for all of the spoils. What are you waiting for? We live in a world where we still wait. You know, though vehicles can make us travel faster than ever, many of us still wait in traffic lines daily. Though technology can give us information quicker than ever, many of us still get annoyed when phone conversations include phrases like, if you want so-and-so, press 4, and please wait. Though hockey teams try to stack their teams to win championships, some fans still have to wait for decades for a Stanley Cup parade, and I know that wasn't fair. But I once was a Leaf fan. Fact is, we live in a world of waiting. And at times, because of so much we know we can do, our waiting can get us impatient. We want action. And it's something similar with the kingdom of God. But Christianity, you see, isn't just about waiting around for Jesus to come back again. It's about waiting expectantly for what and how the Spirit will do to move among us. Waiting and getting ready for what God has in store for us. In our lives, in our communities, in our church. Waiting expectantly. That's why from time to time, even when there are no children in church on Sunday, we light the candle and we wait expectantly for next Sunday children to be here, because we're people of hope. Waiting expectantly and getting ready for what career path God will lead you on. Waiting expectantly for healing in your life or getting ready for that day when God might call you home forever. Waiting, getting your life in order. waiting expectantly for a relationship gone sour, to get better and getting ready to do what God wants you to do to make that relationship better again, not just the other person. Waiting expectantly for God to show you how to keep away from temptation and getting ready to stop bowing to pressure from friends you shouldn't even be hanging around with, and instead bending your knee to King Jesus. Waiting expectantly for peace in some of the most troubled parts of our world, instead of getting resigned and cynical of any possibility for hope for people caught in the crossfire of hatred. Waiting expectantly for all of these and other situations, because that's what Jesus' ascension into heaven calls us to do. Not waiting by standing around looking up into the sky until he comes again. That's what makes people stiff-necked. No, waiting expectantly, hopefully. What are you waiting for? Wait with hope and expectation for King Jesus. Amen.